Blog Talk Radio. This is Passing for Normal, conversations with authors, artists, activists, and awakeners about how they are seeding change in the world. I'm Sharon Weil, author of Donnie and Ursula Save the World, the funniest book about love, sex, and GMO seeds you'll ever read. But mostly, it's about everyday courage and what it takes to get there, in your own personal, even unconventional way. So join us for fun and insightful discussion with some very inspirational people about how to turn purpose and passion into action, while at the same time, passing for normal. Today we're talking with intuitive astrologer and healer Rachel Lang. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Sharon.
I'm so happy to be having this conversation with you.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. I'm really thrilled to be on your show today.
Great. So
thank you.
I'd like to introduce you. Rachel Lang has had the gift of intuitive insight since childhood, and for at least the past 10 years has been offering intuitive astrology readings, meditation groups, and individual energy healing sessions. Rachel is the co-host of Pure Paulino with Michelle Paulino on UNB Radio, where you talk about many aspects of astrology. Rachel has been and continues to be a marketing consultant for individuals, nonprofit organizations, and small businesses, combining astrology with her brilliant marketing skills to create branding and guidance. Have I said enough?
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it.
Great. So I want to start out with the obvious question. Can you describe intuitive astrology?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, astrology, if anyone has read their sun sign, they have an idea of what astrology is. But what I think it is it's a symbolic language that helps us understand ourselves. And it shows us how we are connected to the cosmos, how we're connected to nature, to the earth, in ways that are perhaps unexplainable through what we can sense empirically. So I combine that science and art with intuition, which is more of I bring my own way of interpreting those symbols. And I can usually work with someone's energy to see how we can connect, you know, the symbolic language of astrology with situations that are happening in their lives. So I use the intuition to see how can we shift things, how can I empower people, how can I help people. So I combine the two influences.
So would you say that your work is transformational work? Is the purpose of your work to help people move through, to know more?
I think, you know, that's a great question. I would love to think of my work as transformational. that's my goal.
I think of it as transformational.
Thank you. To really help people. So, for example, you mentioned that I do marketing, and I do that as well. And I think that you can use astrology to find where the blocks are, where the limits are, where the blocks are. And what I like to do is help people to move through those blocks, move through those fears. And whether that's a business, because businesses have their own energy just like people, just like individuals. And so I like to look at where what they want to create in their lives, where they're stuck, and how can we move past the stuckness so that they can really get to where they want to be. And so I do hope it is transformational. And I have seen some transformation in my clients, and it's just that is the most exciting thing for me to see.
I'm sure. So when you say that a business might have its own blocks or its own resistance, are you talking about the business itself, or are you talking about the people running the business?
Well, there's both. Every business has its own chart, has its own birthday. And a lot of times you can use that birthday to determine significant influences that are happening. You can kind of look ahead and see times that might be challenging and prepare for those. And also you can use that birth chart to brand the company. What personality does the company have? Google has a very different personality than, you know, than Bed Bath & Beyond.
So, right.
You know, but not just by the nature of what they do, but of their individual, the signatures that are contained within their individual charts. So I work with both individuals, so people who own the business, and then also with the business itself.
That's great. And so do a lot of people come to you for that purpose?
I'm getting more and more of that. When I started my practice, I was mostly working a lot with people's love lives.
Yes, that's the obvious one, right?
Yes, totally. And while that, I really love that, and I love being able to help people, you know, find their true loves and handle relationships ups and downs, I find that because I have a marketing background, more of my gifts are in helping businesses grow. So I can do both, but I find that my practice is sort of evolving more into the corporate and business piece of things, and kind of moving away from the love lives.
So clearly, with your intuitive gifts and how you're through the structures, let's say, of astrology, you have a very large spiritual perspective,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, how I see it is that you are able with your gifts to sort of reach or access other dimensions or other information that perhaps I would not be able to on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And you're offering that to the people that you counsel. So can you talk a bit about that intention?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think everyone has the ability to access their intuition and mm-hmm. to connect with loved ones who've crossed over onto the other side, to connect with the divine, connect with spirit guides, whatever you want to call that. Everyone has that gift. But because we all have our own fears, sometimes it's difficult to access those gifts for ourselves. And so what I like to do is help people see things that they might not otherwise see on their own because of their fear, because of their upbringing, because of family patterns. Mm-hmm. You know, there are just sometimes things that are in our subconscious minds that haven't surfaced yet. And so a lot of times people come to me when those fears, those limits, that kind of, you know, any kind of stuck negative emotions or patterns are emerging, and they want to understand them better. And they want to understand how to really, how to get move past them in a graceful way so that they can really manifest what it is they want to in their lives.
Yes, yes. And so, so again, we're back to that word transformation. Which really,
yes.
You know, what I see you are facilitating in people is helping them to make a transformation at whatever level they want to, whether it's personal or through their business, but not just succeed, but really make a deep and lasting change,
mm-hmm.
or their success comes from a deep and lasting change. So
yes.
because this show, Passing for Normal, is about seeding change, and seeding change in the world, I wanted to ask you, what are the changes that you would like to see in the world, or what are the changes that you are seeding in the world?
I love that question because I think when I started down this spiritual path, at first I realized that changing my own consciousness meant that I had to shift, that every relationship in my life shifted, and my goals and priorities shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I traveled down the spiritual path, and the more immersed I become in it, the more I realized that my life's work, my work, is nothing unless I consider a bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
and how I can make an impact in the world. And so some of the things that I'm really engaged in are there are two sort of my causes. One is youth homelessness, Mm-hmm. And I lead a meditation group once a month, and we donate, a significant amount of money to that cause. I am very involved in service work connected to that cause. I'm also involved with children with incarcerated mothers, and I have been working with an organization called Let's Start since 2000, and working with formerly incarcerated women, working with children with incarcerated mothers, and we have a couple of writing projects that we're doing right now to really raise awareness about the issue of mass incarceration and the need for alternative sentencing for a nonviolent drug-related crimes. And so along with that, I'm doing a lot of research in restorative justice right now. And so I would love to see changes happen in those two areas where our poor, the people who are homeless, who are poor, where we kind of rally around them and find ways to support them.
That's incredible. And I love how when you offer your meditation groups, that you ask for donations or you accept donations and you give them to whatever your cause is. I know that you've done groups in different cities and you might even support a local cause there.
Yeah.
I love how you do that. That's the spirit of generosity is just passing right through.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's my way of giving back. The spiritual principles of tithing are ones that have been sort of distorted by religion. I think in some religions and historically that's been the case, where it's been attached to a lot of guilt. But honestly, the spiritual principles of tithing are literally using your gifts and taking what you have and giving, finding ways to give to others. And what happens is when you open your heart to that spirit of generosity, then what's happening is it returns generosity to you. And so it might not necessarily be monetary generosity, it could be, but it facilitates an openness of the heart. And in order to get anything, in order to have anything that is love, money, in order to have any of those, the things that you want or that you need here on this earth, you have to have that openness of heart. You have to have an open heart. The heart is ruled by Venus. Venus rules money and love, and those are the two things that I think are pretty important for us to have.
Yes.
And so keeping the heart open, generosity in giving, when it's out of a pure spirit of pure generous spirit, that is one way to keep the heart open.
So would you include that in your recipe for how people can take action towards making change?
Completely. Mm-hmm. And, giving can be so easy. It can be, you and I have talked about seed bombs.
Yes.
But seed bombs, for anybody who doesn't know, are little balls made out of clay and worm castings and seeds. And the idea is to throw them in places that need growth, that need life. And so, so planting seeds is an act of generosity. Because you're supporting the earth and its beautification, and you're creating life, bringing life to places that really need it. So it can be easy. It doesn't have to be something that's difficult or out of your way. It can happen in your everyday life.
Yeah, I love how you're saying about bringing life where it needs to go, and in the groups that you were or your causes that you were talking about, the homeless youth and the children of incarcerated women. I mean, that's certainly a place where more life can be brought and can be offered. And what I was hearing you saying also was that you offer according to your own gifts.
Right. Right.
Whatever they are, and helping to clarify what your own personal gifts are, what your own strengths are, only helps you be able to offer them more.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good way to frame it.
Yeah. So here you are, you know, speaking very comfortably about intuition and about astrology, and these are things that in some segments of the population are considered quite fringe or quite or just, you know, not acceptable, right? Because
yes.
People have a prescribed way of seeing how the world is and how it should go. Mm-hmm. And so you know, the show is called Passing for Normal, and the publishing company of the book, Donnie and Ursula, is called Passing for Normal, and I myself talk about how I am passing for normal or just barely passing for normal. So I wanted to ask you, given the life that you lead, given the gifts that you have, how is it that you are passing for normal?
That's a great question. well, I will have to say that I've spent a really long time doing, having basically astrology as a side job, and mm-hmm. having like a full-time serious job that I've done, marketing, that I could talk to my parents about, because my parents hate astrology.
Mm-hmm. Of course, their parents.
My parents are all in their own version of passing for normal.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, so, I think we all are, but you know, some of us know it more than others. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I've spent a lot of years sort of being closeted about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just within the last 2 years, I have started to come out of the closet and say, this is what I do. And I think that I what I'm trying to do is, rather than passing for normal, is to make it a normal, is to normalize the practice of it. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Yes, like, yes, uh-huh.
To make it more mainstream, so the radio show accomplishes that. You know, I have an inconsistent blog because I'm,
yes.
like I said, I'm still coming out of the closet. But I have a blog, and so I write about it. I see a lot of clients who have Christian backgrounds or Jewish backgrounds, who, you know, who are very like, who have more of a traditional religious and spiritual practice.
Yes,
and so I find ways to incorporate their language into the words that I use and into the sessions that I give, into the readings that I give.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also in theology school to try to understand religion and understand the history of religion, so that I can speak to those who might think that what I do is a little out there.
Can you talk about that a little more?
Sure.
About theology school and why you're in theology school, and
yes, I started theology school because I wanted more of a theological background. I want to write, and I want to contribute to larger conversations about spirituality and about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a unique perspective from the work that I do. So I went to theology school because I think that in order to be able to contribute to any kind of conversation, you have to have knowledge. And I wanted knowledge. I wanted to understand the history of all different religions, but primarily Christianity, because I work mostly with Christians. And I wanted to be able to speak to the real messages contained in religion, and ultimately it's really about love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that too, what I found is that my study of theology has led me into really into exploring social ethics, and so seeing that all of our contemporary struggles and problems, homelessness, the environmental issues, are all spiritually founded, or they have a spiritual foundation, a spiritual root. And so in order to be more effective at making change, I think the information that I'm learning will contribute to that process.
That's fantastic. So I want to go back into the closet for a moment. Okay. Where, you know, so you said that up until, you know, up until a few years ago, you were not even able to put forward what it was that you felt your true gifts were, or that you were shy or you were reluctant. And certainly going into this program in theology, you know, helping you to, as you've said, learn a language in which to learn the common language in which to translate what you do into somebody else's language that they already understand, so that they can mm-hmm. understand more, have a better template for understanding what it is that you're offering. There are a lot of people who are afraid to be who they are,
right?
I mean, you know, or afraid to take steps or afraid to take action. You know, the book Dawn and Ursula, Save the World, this is what it's all about, is overcoming those deep fears about taking action, any action, you know, on your own behalf. And so what was it that, or what is it in an ongoing way that is inspiring you or encouraging you to be able to share who you really are with others, and how would you, what suggestions would you make to other people about how they can do that for themselves?
Well, I think, you know, I've read Dawn and Ursula Save the World,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I think you really articulate in that book is the power of Eros, which is that enlivening creative force, that passion,
yeah.
that sort
mm-hmm.
of inspires us to do things
yeah.
that are like to confront our fears, to come up against our fears. And I think that Eros doesn't just have to be like a sexual impulse. It can be an unknown, unable, like an unseen force that
yes.
propels you forward. And so that's kind of how my journey has been. It's been propelled forward by this passion. And, you know, astrology was the one thing that I could study until 3 o'clock in the morning and not be tired. And
uh-huh.
I couldn't wait to read more. And I have, you know, hundreds of books about it. And I couldn't wait to study, to take classes. And so I guess you could say that I had sort of an Eros awakening.
Mm-hmm.
That led me into this path. And just like Ursula, you know, in your book, she had political and legal restraints, and she kept moving forward. She kept feeling this pull to be brave, and love was part of that, and her passion for the mushrooms and for seeds and for the environment was all part of that. And so I think that creative force has always sort of been pulling me, and I did choose at times to ignore it, and things in my life started falling apart. I started getting sick. I started
uh-huh.
having relationship troubles, and I
You're
think
saying
that,
when you ignored that calling, that tap
yes.
tap tap, when you ignored
totally.
It, uh huh,
yes. So, and then when I followed it, doors would open, and that doesn't mean that it was easy. It just means that I felt more alive.
Mm, yeah, yeah. So following the aliveness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and so, you know, people ask themselves, well, where am I most alive? You know, even if it's not acceptable, or even if it's off the wall, or even if it runs up against popular culture or popular politics, right?
Right.
It's
right.
where, you know, where does that passion lie?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to people, whether they're your clients or your friends or me here, talking to you, what would you say to people about how to find that passion and how to let it be loud enough that you actually overcome your fears?
I think finding that passion, a lot of people know what they're passionate about
mm-hmm.
and have a difficult time transferring that into how do I make money?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are two different answers. First of all, how do you get in touch with that passion and follow it, let it lead you? I think that our survival instincts come into play. And so when we're afraid that we're not going to be able to support ourselves, or we're going to lose our friends or our family, then we close those doors. So rather than looking at your passion as this is how you're going to support yourself financially, just go into it. Just explore it without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you'll find is that there's it starts with, there's a seed that's planted, so to speak, of excitement and euphoria and possibility, and that stirs within. And the more you engage with that feeling, the bigger it gets. And then all of a sudden, you start connecting to people who are of a like mind or who are attached to similar interests. And then your world starts expanding. And the more your world starts to expand, the more people come into it to facilitate the process of breaking down those fears. And so it requires an openness, and it requires a sort of a letting go. A surrender of the expected outcome, of any kind of expectation.
I couldn't agree with you more. And when your bliss or your passion is focused on making change, or making change mm-hmm. within yourself, or with something that you see that you want to change in the world?
When that happens, I think we put so much pressure on ourselves, those of us who want to make a difference, and I'm speaking for myself primarily.
Yes.
I think it becomes overwhelming because there are so many things that you can identify as needing change. You know, environmental issues, GMOs. I mean, you can go down a list.
Yeah.
So it becomes overwhelming. But finding the one cause or the one thing that pulls you the deepest, you find that you're connected to a web of activists who may all be working in different areas, but who are all interested in raising the consciousness of our planet, raising the consciousness of our Earth, and of making a difference, making the world a better place for future generations and for ourselves. So it's about finding that one thing, finding one thing that you can do, and not putting pressure on yourself to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and offering, as you've said, you know, offering your unique gifts,
right,
with an open heart, with as open a heart as you possibly can, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, like I think you're a good example of that because your gift is writing, and you do so many other things in your life, but you know, you're using your writing. And you're using your sense of humor and your playfulness, your playful approach to writing, to really make a difference. And you're raising awareness about, you know, in Donnie and Ursula, it's about GMOs, and that's a serious issue that we're facing in our time.
Yes, it is.
And so I think that you know you're a great example of that, of taking your gift and using it to affect change.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, because that is, you know, I would, you know, as I'm listening to you, I would say, yeah, I followed that path that you're talking about really, you know, going with my passion and finding how it felt. You know, it feels good to write. It feels good to bring humor into dark places. And, you know, being able to follow that and just feeling so grateful that I have something to offer that is of use to anybody is always a nice thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rachel, our time is up. We could talk forever, and I hope that we do. So before we close, where can people find you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they find out more about you?
My website is Rachel C, the letter C, Lang, LANG.com. I'm also on Twitter, Rachel Lang 11 is my handle, and on Facebook as well.
And we can also find you at Pure Pollino, at the Pure Pollino show at UNB Radio on Tuesdays at 11 a.m.
Yes.
Or join you for one of your meditation groups for
the third Tuesday of every month.
Third Tuesday of every month. Great.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. Thank you so much, Karen.
So thank you. It's been great.
This has been Passing for Normal, conversations about seeding change in the world. To find out more about author Sharon Weil, go to passingfornormal.com. That's passing, numeral 4, normal.com. Donnie and Ursula Save the World is available in paperback, Kindle, and soon to be an audiobook at donnieandursula.com. So go out and do something brave today. M. Earth and I thank you.